We're turning again to the book of Psalms and to Psalm 34. The Bible says here, if you have a Bible that has a little introduction to the psalm, it says, a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And that tells the story of David going down into the land of the Philistines, a very dangerous thing to do in his position, and how he was brought before King Achish, or called here King Abimelech, and to escape the wrath of the king, David pretended to be a madman. You can read all about it over there in the first book of Samuel and chapter 21 from verse 12 onwards. So much so that he pretend to be a madman that the king said, have I need of madmen? Take this fellow away. Get him away. And David was delivered by the power of God from those strange circumstances in which he found himself. And he was brought back then to the cave of Adullam. And I'm sure, as one Bible commentator of old said, I'm sure that the cave became a cathedral of praise when David and his friends praised God for the deliverance David found on that occasion. And I want to think with you tonight about that occasion and the circumstances in which David found himself and how God delivered him. And we find that if you think about the circumstances and the dire straits in which David was, and you read this prayer of David's and this psalm of David's and this song of thanksgiving for answered prayer, you can see a picture of how a sinner is wonderfully, gloriously converted to Christ. You know, it's always good to think about the sure signs of salvation. It's always good to hear about a man or a woman, a boy or girl, who has received Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And over many, many years in the Christian ministry, I have heard many, many testimonies to God's saving grace and God's keeping power. They come from people all different ages, different backgrounds, different cultures. But you know, they've all one thing in common, that they heard the word of God, they believed the gospel, they repented of their sin, and they trusted Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Not long after I was saved, I was going to a meeting to hear the late Pastor Willie Mullen. Willie Mullen was conducting a series of gospel meetings, and the night I attended, he was preaching on the subject of sudden conversion. He was talking about Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus and how a blasphemer and a persecutor and a man who was injurious to the Church of Christ, how God suddenly stepped into his life and he was born again, as we have been singing, of the Spirit of God and cleansed in the precious blood of Christ. Suddenly, God stepped into his life. We've heard many conversion stories like that, how suddenly God took hold upon a life and changed that life. I was engaged for many years, as you know, in children's work in our denomination, taking children's missions here, there, and yonder. And God blessed his word to the hearts of boys and girls. But we read that wonderful story in the book of Samuel about the little lad Samuel. And we could almost say there was a secret conversion. How God spoke to that little child in the midnight hours. And the little lad thought it was Eli calling him. And he went to Eli, and Eli then realized what was happening. And Eli says, if you hear the voice again, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And there in the stillness of the night, in the quietness, in the solitude, that little lad Samuel heard the voice of God, give himself to God and became a prophet and a judge in Israel. We were speaking this morning about Uzziah, the king, and the great prophet Isaiah says it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the holy temple. And in that sorrowful experience, in the loss of a dear and beloved friend, Isaiah the prophet had a wonderful experience with the Lord himself. And you know, over the years in the ministry of God's word, we have found sometimes in a very sorrowful state, in a time of great sorrow, maybe at a time of bereavement and loss, or a time of great tragedy, that God is speaking, and that some dear member of a family circle, maybe in the loss of a loved one, comes as a sinner to Jesus and receives the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of the great conversions recorded in Scripture is the conversion of the dying thief. And if I were to name it, I would say we speak about Saul in a sudden conversion, and Samuel in a secret conversion, and Isaiah in a sorrowful conversion. But here's a man, and I use the term, he was scarcely converted. Now when I say that, I'm not taking away from his conversion. I'm not saying it was any less than anyone else's. But you know, in the timeline, he was almost in God's eternity. He was almost out into the great eternity. His life's blood was ebbing out of his veins. And there on the cross, on one side of Christ, he looked to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He was almost out of time. He was well past the 11th hour. But praise God, he called upon Christ and he was wonderfully saved. And he had that great assurance of salvation when Jesus said to him, verily, I say unto thee today, shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then we think of that great trip of the Apostle Paul and Silas. They went to the land of Macedonia and they went down to a prayer meeting that was down by the riverside. And was a woman who was a seller of purple, a woman by the name of Lydia. And the Bible says that she opened her ears to hear the gospel. She had an ear for the things of God. And as she opened her ears, God opened her heart. And my, she was soundly converted through the ministry of Paul and Silas. So no matter where, no matter when, no matter how, when we hear about someone being converted to Christ, it is a wonderful thing and a thing that gives us great joy in our hearts. When you read down this psalm, it's hard to think we're reading about David, because we remember he is the one who slew the lion and the one who slew the bear. He is the one, the lad who went out and faced Goliath of Gath of the Philistines and slew him. But the Bible says there in this psalm, I sought the Lord in verse 4, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Oh, you see, as David feigned madness that day before Achish the king, before God delivered him back to the cave of Adullam, David's life was filled with fear. And today in this world, many hearts are failing men and women because of fear. They have many, many fears. They have fears for their family and their family circle. Perhaps they have fears for their financial well-being. They have fears about the future, what the future may or may not hold. They have fears about becoming a failure. They have fears about friends and friendships. And there's not one who hasn't a fear. David said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Again in verse 6 he says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Oh, there's not many people today in this world who haven't got trouble of some sort or another. In fact, the book of Job says, and those words, oftentimes we hear them even at a funeral service, Job 14 and 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and he's full of trouble. The Bible also reminds us that man is born to trouble even as the sparks fly upward. And even God's people, the Bible says there in verse 19 of Psalm 34, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Oh, there's troubles. That's why the old hymn writer could pen the words, I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had questions for tomorrow. There were times that I didn't know right from wrong, but in my darkest hour, in that precious lonely hour, I knew the Lord had claimed me for his own. And then the hymn writer goes on to sing, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know that Christ could solve them. I'd never know what faith in Christ could do. So David had fears and David had troubles. But I want you to notice, when we think about the sure signs of salvation, we have a seeking sinner. Is that you tonight? Have you troubles? Have you fears? But are you a seeking sinner? Listen to these words, and they're repeated again and again and again. Verse 4, I sought the Lord. Verse 6, this poor man cried. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 15, the Lord, his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry. And the psalmist is speaking here about people who seek the Lord. Now, I have talked to people, and sometimes people say, well, there's no point in me seeking the Lord because there are too many hypocrites in the church. And I'm just as good as some of those church people. I'm just as good. My life is as good as theirs. And there's too many hypocrites in the church. That may be so. But friend, there are hypocrites in business. There are hypocrites in clubs. There are hypocrites in the lodge. There are hypocrites in all sorts of places. Psalmist says, I sought the Lord. Somebody says, oh, you know, preacher, I stayed behind one night of the meeting. I sought the Lord, I prayed a prayer, but it didn't make any difference, and I'm no further on. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah says over there in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah says, or rather 55, he says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah says, you've got to seek the Lord while he may be found. You've got to come to him while he's calling you. And Jeremiah, the prophet of God, says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in verse 13, he says, ye shall seek me, God says, and ye shall find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Friend, when you come to Christ, the people who seek the Lord must come with that passion in their heart and life. The old evangelist W.P. Nicholson used to say, the trouble in Ulster is this. He says, there are people going to church on Sunday morning and they're praying, Our Father which art in heaven. But he says, they're living like orphans the rest of the week. They have no experience with God. They have never sought the Lord while he may be found. They have never sought the Lord with their whole heart. Because those who seek him, thank God, they find life and they find peace. In the Psalm 34, the Bible says there in verse 12, what man is he that desireth life? Are you looking for life? People try in all the wrong places to find life. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. People today are looking for peace. The Bible says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So you've got to seek the Lord. This is the first sign, as it were, of salvation. A seeking sinner. I trust tonight, friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are a seeking sinner, and you're longing to learn more, and you want to know more. In fact, you want to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. The second thing is this, there is a sympathizing Savior. Oh, wherever there is a seeking sinner, thank God there's a sympathizing Savior. Look at the Psalm again, in Psalm 34 and verse 6. It says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. The Lord hears the prayer of the seeking sinner. The verse 6, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Aren't you glad tonight that the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. When Peter set out to walk upon the water, and he was walking toward the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he took his eyes up the Savior, and he looked at the waves that were boisterous, and he felt the wind, and he began to sink, and he prayed a little prayer. He said, Lord, save me. But he was seeking the Lord with all his heart, and the Lord reached out his hand and saved him. He spoke about the dying thief, and he cried out, Lord, remember me. And friend, you can call tonight because there's a sympathizing Savior. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you are or where you've been or what you've done. Thank God there's a sympathizing Savior who will hear your cry. The Lord heard him. Look at verse 4 again. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The Lord delivered him. Verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. There are men and women in this world tonight, and they need to be delivered from bondage. They need to be delivered from the blight of sin. They need to be delivered from the barrenness of sin in their heart and in their life. They're heading along that broad road that leads to a lost eternity. But as far as this world is concerned, as far as their life and their plans and their schemes are concerned, they're heading nowhere, and their life is blighted, and they're blinded, and they're in bondage to sin, and they can't break the power of sin by themselves. But if you call upon Christ, He will hear you, and He will deliver you. Then the Bible says there in verse 20, He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, thank God the Lord will keep us. The great promise of the Savior in John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. The Lord is able to hear your cry, friend. The Lord is able to deliver you, whether you're steeped in religion and religiosity, and you think you're too good to be saved. You don't need salvation. Or whether you're steeped in the wickedness and the filth and the mire and the gutter of sin, and you think you're too bad that you couldn't be saved. My, the Lord will hear your cry, and He will deliver you, and thank God He will keep you. Why? Because He has redeemed you. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. When Then the Apostle Peter wrote, "Ye are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." When Paul talked about in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, there were millions of slaves throughout the Roman Empire. People knew all about slaves and slavery, and about what it would cost for to buy a slave his freedom, to let him go free. The Bible says you and I were on the slave market of sin, and we were lost, and we were doomed, and we would have been damned in a Christless eternity. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He laid down his life on the old rugged cross, and he shed his precious blood. And we are not redeemed by silver or gold. We cannot buy our way into heaven. We're not redeemed by our good works or our religious ceremonies or our rituals. But we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And dear friend, the sympathizing Savior, he'll hear you, he'll deliver you, he'll keep you, he will redeem you, and he will be near to you. The Bible says in verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit." You know, over there in the epistle of Paul to the Romans, in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 8, the Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It is even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach." Maybe, dear friend, tonight you know the gospel. You have a Bible, you've read the scriptures, you know the stories of Jesus. And oh, dear friend, the apostle says here, the word is nigh thee. It's even in your mouth, it's in your heart, you've learned it from childhood. But you need, as a seeking sinner, to come tonight to the one who is the sympathizing Savior. The great physician now is near. The sympathizing Jesus. Friend, let me close by giving you a third sign of salvation. When you have a seeking sinner who comes to the sympathizing Savior, the Lord Jesus, the only way, the only mediator between God and man, the only Savior of men, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Salvation is not in a church. It's not in a creed. It's not in Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna. Salvation is in Christ. For he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You will find there is then a satisfying salvation. For the psalmist says here in verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." The psalmist says, "Taste and see." Oh, blessed is the man, the Bible says in Psalm 32, whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. I used to sing a gospel hymn. One of the verses in it was this: "If I could climb the highest mountain, if the world and everything belonged to me, I could never really find true satisfaction. But the one who made it all says, trust in me." Friend, what would it profit a man tonight if he gained all the world and then would lose his own soul? I urge you tonight to taste the provision that the Lord hath made. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. To trust in the person of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. Friend, he is good all the time. And then, thank God, you will be able to testify of the protection and the power and the presence of God in your life. We spoke this morning about the kings of the Old Testament scripture of Israel and Judah, and how the Lord summed up their life. Either he did that which was right or he did that which was evil. There was a man called Manasseh, an evil king. For many years he ruined himself, he ruined his family, he ruined the nation. But there was a time came when he sought the Lord and God heard his cry. Friend, you can seek the Lord tonight and the Lord will hear your cry. You can come to know him whom to know is life eternal. I am your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. And if you realize that you're not a Christian, you haven't got an experience with God, and you'd love to be saved, and you'd love to know for certain that you're saved, and you'd love to know that your sins were all washed away and dealt with and put away, and you'd love to know for certain that you're on your way to heaven and home, then, dear friend, don't go away from the car park. You can come and speak to me after the meeting. If you're with a Christian friend, they gladly come with you. You can come into the church. We'll be socially distant, but we show you from God's word how you can be saved, how you can know it, how you can be sure, how you can leave with the assurance of God's salvation. But I beg you, don't go away without my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless his word to our hearts tonight.